Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Teresa Plines, Chaplain and Director of Liturgy and Music of the Catholic Community. It is the 31st Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle C.
Zacchaeus, whether he knew it or not, was in need of mercy. Mercy. What does that mean? What does that mean in our world today? What did it mean in Jesus' time? Have mercy upon us. The Gospel of Luke is filled with those voices begging for mercy. You've heard them in some of the stories that we've recently heard cycle through our lectionary. The 10 lepers, the widow pitted against the unjust judge, the blind man by the roadside, the prodigal son, the thief on the cross that we'll hear on the feast of Christ the King. Jesus, he begs, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Mercy in this life, mercy in the next. It's the same mercy that is promised in today's first reading from Wisdom. Listen to those words again. The whole world before you, O Lord, is like a speck that tips the scales, and like a drop of morning dew that falls on the ground. But you, Lord, you are merciful to all, for you can do all things. Those words are beautiful. Those words are full of comfort. For God loves all things and is able to show mercy to everyone, to you, to me, to everyone. Wouldn't it be great, then, if we lived in that kingdom of mercy, fully manifest, the peaceable kingdom? The one where everyone shares and everyone has enough. The one where justice and God's mercy is allowed to reign. But those voices of the desperate, the voices of the desperate invade that promise of the wisdom text. Son of David, have mercy on me, calls the blind man from his beggar's scrap heap. God bless you. Can you spare some change? Mumbles the woman stationed on the corner of El Camino. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Plead the unclean lepers from a distance. They can't even approach Jesus to ask for the mercy. Please save my child from dying. A cholera-infected woman, mother in Haiti. Give me my rights, demands the widow of the unjust judge. She's my favorite. Give us our rights, demand those who are labeled as enemy combatants, who have no chance to plead their case. And then today, we are confronted with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus isn't even someone you can feel sorry for. You know, he was a tax collector. He was hated against his own people. No wonder the onlookers grumbled against him in Luke's story, because his wealth, what he furnished his rich home with, was money from their pockets, and they knew it. He didn't deserve to be singled out by Jesus, and certainly not saved. But Jesus calls to him nonetheless. For Jesus, being God, recognizes the goodness in Zacchaeus' person. And even as the crowd labeled him and wrote him off as someone no longer a person, no longer anyone that counted, no longer deserving of mercy, dignity, or even existence. It's easier that way, isn't it? If you make someone disappear behind a label, Pharisee, tax collector, illegal immigrant, welfare recipient, gay, lesbian, terrorist, somehow the election cycle brings all of those to the forefront, just as much now as it did then. And when you think this way, you can fight wars and deny rights and believe that everyone should be able to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And then when there aren't any clear answers to some of these very complex problems, a label doesn't require getting too close. It's collective, nothing personal. That's just the way it is. I think maybe that's why in this gospel, Zacchaeus is given a name. Not everyone in the gospel has names. The rich young man that went away sad because he couldn't give his possessions up to follow Jesus had no name. But Zacchaeus has a name. Because Jesus made this a personal encounter. He called to Zacchaeus, called him by name, and he went over to that tree, and he got him down. Because Jesus' type of mercy, divine mercy, sees through the shadows of closed-mindedness and tree branches. Divine mercy seeks out the goodness in all created things. And divine mercy draws together the children of God and makes relationships personal. But it doesn't do this easily. Jesus, as you know, typically had to stand up to most of the people following him. These are the people that were listening to him. And they grumbled. And they thought he was wrong. In our own lives, we often have to figure out within ourselves both how to be merciful and how to accept mercy. I think this would be easier if we just operated the whole of our lives in church. Because in church, we pretty much know what to do. We know when to say prayers. We know where the gestures are necessary. We know when to come up for communion. But when we walk out the doors, because we don't live here, because we come for sustenance and then are continually sent out, that's when we realize the steps aren't quite so predictable. And it's not always easy to tell exactly what we should do, because life is rarely lived in a well-defined construct, and mercy is often hard to come by and even harder to show. I know this personally. Some of you know that among my 7 children, the 4 of the younger ones are adopted. And before they came to live with me and my husband, they lived a very precarious existence. They lived on the streets. They lived in places where anyone would accept them. They slept in closets. And they suffered the abuse and the neglect that children who have this kind of existence suffer. Most of these things are born on the inside of a person. One of my little guys, however, bears the marks on the outside. And he has marks where he was hurt on both of his arms. And I've met the woman who was supposed to take care of him. And I can't get away with labeling her as illegal or welfare, for she is my child's mother. And she has a name. Her name is Nicandra. And in the worst of days, I am very angry, even enraged at her, at what her actions did to an innocent little boy. And on the best of days, I am grateful that she gave our son, hers and mine, our son, life. And that she loved him enough to eventually let him go to a place of safety. I pray for her mercy upon me. That's just one example. We all have stories of struggle. We all have places where we're called to a very difficult showing of mercy. It is then that we should go back to wisdom's text, for that reminds us, Lord, you love all things. For your immortal spirit is in all things. May that holiest of spirits open our eyes to see all people as children of God. Open our ears to the pleas of those most in need of restored dignity. And our hearts to the possibilities of a kingdom built upon divine mercy. God's mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please call us at 650-725-0080 or email us at catholic@stanford.edu. Please visit our offices at the 3rd floor of Old Union at the Center for Interreligious Community, Learning, and Experiences, or mail us at the Catholic Community at Stanford, P.O. Box 20301, Stanford, California, 94309. This is Father Isaiah M. Milano, O.P., Associate Director, Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.